Thank you so much for joining this session on the role of Islamic finance in responding to refugee crises. My name is Rafiuddin Shiko. I'm the managing director of a research and advisory firm that focuses on the global Islamic finance and Islamic economy space. It's my honor to moderate this session of how, in this developing global Islamic finance and Islamic economy space, the role that the various players today are taking in addressing different aspects of humanitarian needs and crises, especially focused on refugee crisis. I am delighted to have with me a very good mix of distinguished panelists with us who are from various aspects of philanthropy, private sector, Islamic finance, Islamic fintech, and multilateral bodies as well. And so, given we're starting late, but I think we'll, and I know we might be between you and lunch, so we'll try to optimize, but I'm sure with our distinguished panelists, we'll have an engaging conversation and give you the quality inputs. So without further ado, I'd like to get started. What I wanted to do was, as we start this panel, like to give you a little bit of context of what is Islamic finance's role today worldwide, and how its opportunity towards philanthropy and humanitarian, addressing humanitarian needs applies. Today, Islamic finance, as part of the global financial ecosystem, represents about $2.5 trillion of assets under management. It's growing faster than the overall finance space. It is also part of a wider Islamic economy ecosystem, which represents the consumer drivers of over 1.8 billion Muslims worldwide, who are also driving Islamic finance, but are driving this wider ecosystem of a halal, an Islamic economic lifestyle ecosystem. So that's an important point to keep in mind, and that ecosystem that touches food, not just finance, similar to finance, it also touches food, clothing, and other lifestyle sectors, is another $2.2 trillion of consumer spending worldwide. So this is the wider context of Islamic finance and Islamic economy today. Refugees-wise, today 60% of forcibly displaced persons globally are from Muslim-majority source countries, making a link for refugee giving with Islamic philanthropy very relevant. And finally, the topic that we're here to specifically focus on is the specific arm of Islamic social finance, which has three big arms to it. One is the obligatory giving called zakat. The other is the Islamic endowment concept called waqf, and then general giving or philanthropy called sadaqah. Just zakat, in our firm's estimation, is today over $356 billion worth of social giving pool, which is the obligatory giving potential. And together with waqf, which is endowments, another approximately $450 billion, and we don't have estimations on sadaqah, but suffices to say it should be or would be at least equal to the zakat pool, if not more. So, hopefully, with that context, you have a little bit of a picture of our conversation today. As I said, we're honored to have with us a great mix of panelists. And I'd like to start first and foremost with Mr. Jamal, who is representing a NGO, a philanthropic organization from Kuwait. Mr. Jamal, if you can start, introduce your organization, and share, as a philanthropic organization that's using Islamic social finance, how are you applying Islamic social finance to your beneficiaries?